you know, Allie is the conductor of PALS now, and she's been there for 4 years doing such an amazing job. Just she's intrepid. She's a warrior. She's an explorer and a pioneer, just like she should be. Lorna Cook DeBaron celebrated 90 years of life last year, and her advice to me was never conduct sleeveless. And that was 30 years ago for my master's recital. And Priscilla French, who you know conducts up in Portsmouth, had a gown made for her recital, and it was sleeveless. And she came to show Lorna, Mrs. DeBaron, her dress, and it was sleeveless. And she said, "Oh, never, ever. You've got to put sleeves on that. Nothing is more unattractive than the back of a woman's arm." Anyway, that was her one of the things that she taught me. She also, though, was a real good fosterer and inventor and pioneer and bringer honor of new music and composers. So as graduate students, we were in lots of scary situations with her. I was thinking of what to talk about. Allie wrote in an email that I'm supposed to speak on developing the young singers and directors who will carry the arts into the future. And it's been a busy week. I'm ready to go to Arizona tomorrow, and I'm thinking about how many jeans I packed and if I had the right coats, but really I kept thinking, well, duh. What can I tell you except children are the future? We could all go and have our cocktail hour right now, but they're paying me so much for this that I have to talk about it. So here we go. Another person who advised me or who really helped me see a lot of clarity in my performing philosophies is my colleague for about, I think it was probably 14 years, Nancy Walker, who ran PALS with me side by side. I don't know if you know her, but you're only as good as who you run something with, your accompanist and your partner. And she would always tell the children, and I would too, that very similar to what I think you said, it is not you are not the birthday child today. It's not about you today, it's about you. And as I'm making this talk today, I keep thinking it's not about me, telling you about me. It's more about what I can tell you that might be useful, affect you, and the children always know that it's not about them. That's why they always like to talk about what happened to the audience while they were singing. Since they are memorized and able to see me out of the corner of their eyes, there's a lot of things that you see the children do or that they get to see, and they say, "Oh, did you see that woman in the second row? She was sobbing." Or, that really made them laugh there, or if they didn't, it was so quiet, that sort of thing. They really did notice what gift they were given. So anyway, as a group of, I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak. I think that's funny. but how many of you have ever worked with children? Raise your hand. Good. And how many of you have sang in a choir in the last year or so? How many I've conducted in the last year?
I'll make that 40.
Lots. How about right? How many have grandchildren who sing in a children's choir?
Just kidding.
That's nice. I love that. Have given money to a children's choir? I like that too. Anyway, I just wanted to know who you are out there. So I'm talking about creating a children's choir, and not just any old children's choir, but one that's going to cause the children to have memories that will cause this addiction, this benign, fabulous addiction to needing to find and recreate and reform, revisit that experience for the rest of their lives. And listening to all of you talk, I know we don't have any problems with singing people right now. Look at 200 people with you, and all the people with you, and Cecilia, and people wanting to audition and not getting in. We have plenty of singers. We have a pretty good audience, but that's because the singer's friends are required to go, pretty much, except for in a few, not all cases. That's not true. And there are some very high-level courses that people go that aren't even related. And I used to tell the children that as well. I said, if we could ever be so good that there are people in the audience that are coming just to hear you and not because they're your family, then we're really on a roll, because then we know it's their birthday and not our birthday. So anyway, I would like to just talk a few bits of my philosophy on if you are going to support a chorus, and we do have many fine ones in Boston. We're not poor in that regard. We have a wonderful children's chorus, the Boston Children's Chorus, that was started way in my later years of directing PALS. And their mission was to basically unite communities, and they started out with a visionary Hughie Jones, and he was able to get lots of support and lots of children, and they're doing a super job and fulfilling that mission very beautifully. We have the Boston City Singers who do that also, but they also are a little more globally oriented and more ethnic music oriented, and they're a kind of a little bit more boutique than this overall huge juggernaut. I think the Children's Choir Boston was modeled after the Chicago Children's Choir, and they're just doing super. And then of course we have this perfect choir named PALS. It's not perfect, that's why I love it actually. And they've been known, I think, if you had to give an identity to PALS, it's the choir and I'm really not trying to flatter myself, the artist's choir. It's the one that grown-ups like to work with. It's the one that sees things, that it's like children are not children, they're young, they're just miniature artists that kind of learn differently than grown-ups, but are able to, that seems to be what they are. At least I've always thought so. And we don't demand a lot either of other organizations. Anyway, you want to try to make a choir that creates heightened experiences for children. I'm so not happy to be to behave and perform safe things. I would so much rather create this incredibly safe environment for taking huge risks, whatever risks you feel like doing. And well, since I'm about to go riding in Arizona on a horse for a week, one of my most heightened memories is when we were in Montana riding a horse on this place called Bighorn along a cliff. Truly dangerous, truly frightening, and but kind of challenging. So we finally did it, and I'll never forget it. It was terrifying and wonderful. And when I'm 90, when I'm 100, I'll just think back and go, when I rode Bighorn, that was great. And I'm kind of thinking that music is similar. Some of the best experiences that will make you search for more are the ones that are the most scary. And so I kind of would like a children's chorus to be out there and to, let me read some notes, not just, and also to worry very much about children and their iPods and their iPads and their Facebooks and their way of not really talking but of texting and of not communicating face to face but of listening and watching things, all the concerts and YouTubes on they can, it's almost like they think they've been to a performance by seeing it on a little teeny screen on their iPhone on YouTube, and that's dangerous. And we're all, I can tell by this room, about one person getting along, and we don't really need to worry about that, but we do actually, because to continue to foster direct communication versus electronic hidden communication, I think is a challenge, and those are the children that we're trying to lure in and addict to our art that we're also passionate about. So how do you make it, how did I do it? It's all about me right now. That's what I want. How does one make a children's choir cutting edge rather than just by the book? And you've all heard very good by-the-book children's choirs. If you go to ACDA conventions, especially older ones, they're just these perfect, impeccably trained, predictably repertoired children who are, first of all, they kind of make you feel inadequate, and then they make you feel a little glazed over often, or then you're just not sure if this is the right thing for you, at least. I suppose, like, when I was thinking about inspiration, one year when I maybe was about 26 or 5, just in Boston, went to Sanders Theater and saw the Tapiola Children's Choir. I said, do you know that choir? Oh, yeah. It's just the best. It still is just wonderful. And all these children in these awesome Marimekko dresses and cool vests, playing instruments and singing and moving all over the stage and singing so well. Not just playing around, but they were just, I'm completely in love with excellence. I fell in love with my husband because he sang a solo at a concert. I never met him before. He was so excellent, but he was mine for 35 years. So he was just so good. But they were just beautiful, visually, musically. And then I went to an ACDA and once heard Henry Lex Choir sing. And they sang a song by Malcolm Douglas, the Kalanta, which became a very popular song to sing. But I was sitting there, ready to be impressed, depressed, and glazed a little bit. And they started using their hands. And pretty soon, and they had tambourines, and they had ribbons. And by the end, it was there, frozen up like this. And to see children with their hands in the air, there's something that's just, it can make you cry. It's so beautiful. So I took that away. And there was another thing when the Chicago Children's Chorus came to sing with the Boston Children's Chorus. This was well into Powell's years, and I was well into my own philosophy, but I was watching, and in that room in Jordan Hall for the dress rehearsal, there wasn't just, what's her name, Joe? I can't remember the name of the conductor, Joe something. This fabulous conductor, but there was a choreographer, professional, who was watching the movement of the choir as it shifted and changed to reflect the music they were singing. There was a singer, a vocal coach, that was weaving in and amongst the children, modeling her voice or listening and making sure the blend was right. There were an accompanist, and there was a percussionist, and there was somebody watching just how they were standing, not just moving, but if they were, how they were walking in and if their lines were correct and the whole thing. It was a staff of thousands, all about making it so that the audience was just swayed in the best possible way. So anyway, those are my three choirs that so affected me. I think in a children's choir, I used to and still do get criticized for not teaching enough about music literacy. And I thought about PALS, and one of our philosophies at the beginning was to teach drama and dance, because if you're singing and you don't know how to act and you don't know how to move, you're wooden, and you're not really a performing artist, which is what PAL stands for, performing artists at Lincoln School. You're a choral, almost a puppet. You're just repressed, and you're not really expressing yourself. So right from the start, we had an hour of choral music, and then one day a week, an hour of dance, and one day a week, another hour of choral music, and then an hour of drama, right from the beginning, without really a sense of being a dance group, and at the end we did a musical, but that was important to us, and we sacrificed musical literacy for that, because that was all the time we had. And I kept thinking, I'm a good teacher, they're good ears, they'll learn it, I'll teach them how to follow scores. A lot of them take piano lessons and instruments. So we really did that right away. And then I also encouraged, with an underlying well taught by Mark Pearson and all my teachers at the conservatory, pedagogy. But still, once you talk about move and not pinch, I encourage chest voice, and that was really bad back then. And we went to an ACDA and premiered a new work by a Newton composer, Aline Shader, and it was low. And there was like, ooh, that's bad for children, low. And I love low, so I just kept doing that, and nasality to reflect Bulgarian sounds or whatever. I thought that was really good. I thought it was good to, where boys would go, "Buddy, my voice is changed," and I went, "Oh, that's so good. Let's listen to how low it goes. No, no." We all celebrate. Everybody, listen to how low Keith's voice is, and then now sing high. And then you develop the falsetto in the boy and have him sing with you to everything high up to G's and A's. And they were beautiful falsetto voices. And they went on to sing in their a cappella groups in college and became the stars because they could sing these cool things. I also think in the you should rehearse in interesting ways. When Allie first took over, she stood them up with music stands in a circle. And I was, whoa, that's great. So there they were, children standing with their music and their music stands, becoming even more powerful and confident and professional and ageless, I think. Not just little children sitting perfectly in their chair. I love that, Public, what you did there, and I hope you still do it. I thought uniforms really mattered a lot. You had to make them look like the Tapiola Children's Choir. Really cool. So we made these Chinese shirts to go with the Tan Dun thing we did at the symphony. And then we made another set that was supposed to be more angelic Chinese shirts for when we had to sing Damnation of Faust and kind of those angels with Margarita up there. And then it mattered a lot how they looked, I thought. You couldn't just have them look like, generic choir kids. And then finally, as we, you go on, you this is where I get into the scary part. You accept scary gigs, scary ones, ones that you could, no one would say yes to. Because they're impossible, you can't do them. Things like, I was in Arizona about 4 years ago, and they called from the symphony and said, would you be interested in teaching about 25 children to sing the Sprechstimme in Moses and Aaron? And I kind of know what that is, but had not a lot. And I said, yeah, sure, okay. And then here we were learning it, and it was very much fun and memorable. The kids still know it. They remember it. They can recite it. I've forgotten it all, but I remember how scared I was. Doing something like the Vietnam Oratorio. So would you like to sing in Vietnamese? Okay, yeah, we will. And then we found a wonderful woman who's married to Ronan Lefkowitz, her name is Chen, who gave us all the Vietnamese pronunciation to make PALS just suddenly be so respected because we could sound Vietnamese. And I have to stop it a little while because I thought I wouldn't have anything to say, but I get my nails and my toes done at a Vietnamese place in Brooklyn. And because of PALS, I am treated like a queen because every time I go in, I recite Vietnamese to them. And it's all that we learned, and it was very And then finally, and I only have a couple of seconds for this, is the most important thing that I think a children's chorus of today needs to do and needs to be funded for and needs to be encouraged is composing, is bringing new works into being. What could be better vehicles for that than children? I mean, compared to us, much more compared to us, they are completely receptive to risk. They want risk. They're not the kind of, oh goody, let's do something hard, Jody, but they really do take very well to risk. And they're so quick to grasp what you're trying to do. And especially because even though they're looking, they're guiding with their music and they're looking at the score, they're not really learning it visually. They're learning it the real way, the way you teach. They're learning it, the real music part, how it sounds, what the text means, not what the words are and what the notes are doing. It's incredible that way, how much more musical. And they memorize so easily. They have stamina to spare, as long as you can keep them focused. And we live, and I think Allie's the same exact way. Well, actually, she's a little stricter than I am, but right on the edge. Between them completely falling apart and being completely right there listening, like their hearts are on fire and their heads are icy and they're just kind of, at any moment they could just be terrible and instead of just predictably good. I like that too. They're patient and most of all, they're open-minded. Anything sounds okay to them, really. They're honest. When they're not happy, they tell you, and so that's good, because you know, and when I'm not happy, I tell them, but they trust, and I think, to close, I would just say, if you're going to always keep your antenna up for composers, they're living where you least know. They could be, like, right next door to you, and they could be calling the other, last night I went out with a composer I've never met. Has anyone heard of Andrea Corriere? Andrea Pinto Corriere. And she's at McDowell right now, right near where I live, and she's writing things for the Orchestra League, and she just wrote a children's thing. She's Portuguese, and she wrote for the Tanglewood Music Center, and oh my gosh, was that exciting. There she is about to maybe write a piece for my kids up in New Hampshire. When you're working with the composers, make sure that you, or you're picking a composer, make sure you know yourself first and what you can stand. Don't get yourself into a sound world that you really hate. And you can tell what the sound world is going to be by listening to the composer's other words. I personally don't believe in torturing an audience, but I do believe in challenging them. But it's so you have to know thyself when you're doing that, and stay strong throughout. The bond that you make with the children of trust and of power, because it's the power that you feel if you do a good job that you've suddenly made an audience change. You've communicated something. You've been a conduit between the composer, whether it was Bach or Mahler or Britten or Howie Fraison or Dutilleux or Tan Dunn or Mehmet Sanlikol or all the people that we've worked with. You've suddenly been a medium almost between them and then the audience. And then if you've done your job and the audience is obviously moved, upset, enlightened, delighted or whatever, then you feel power. And then when you feel that power, you want to have it all your life. And that's how we'll always have children. I hope that made sense. Thank you very much.